grass, ganja, joint, doobie, do, chronic, ace, lobo, loco, loveboat, bud, Buddha, blunt, pot, pat, pin, chiba, chiba, 420, and hashish, or hash for short. It's all marijuana.
This is Marijuana Media.
Come in. Brought to you by The Hemp Store at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz.
Do it, man.
Woohoo!
And woohoo!
Hi!
Hey! How are you going, Millie?
I'm so good. How are you?
Very good.
Very good.
Lovely day out there, isn't it? For a nice 420. A good excuse to wrap up early for the day, I say, if you're working. Unfortunately,
really
enough. Time to clock off, everyone.
Yeah, that's it. You've done your dash.
Yeah, you heard it on the radio.
Yeah, you totally have. We've got some cool stories this week.
Well, I have some great news for anyone who drives.
Woohoo!
And that's that the government's, I'm struggling for words for how to describe it, their terrible drug driving amendment bill. It actually came back from Select Committee on Monday, just secretly, quietly put on the Parliament website, and I happened to stumble upon, oh my gosh, it's today. And but not on the, didn't get debated, didn't get put into Parliament, Parliament's over for the year, so it will not be passed into law. Not quite yet, anyway. They're back at the very end of January, they come back, and you never know, could be up the top of there, but...
gosh, that's a long break, isn't it?
Well, it's 1 month, I guess, but so anyway... they promised, in fact, Simeon Brown, the Minister of Transport, promised it would be passed on the 4th of December. He had an exact date in mind, and that didn't happen, and it still hasn't happened. So
so for now, we're safe.
We're safe, yes. And nice. And the reason, to just explain why, because people might be thinking, well, why is that a good thing?
Yeah.
And that's because this bill, the amendment to the Land Transport Act, and this will allow what they call oral fluid testing, and a nice name for your saliva, the oral fluid. And it will screen for recent use, not impairment. That's one of the changes. It used to, when Labor put this law through a few years ago, and then they amended it again, and it was supposed to look for impairment, and everyone would agree with that. Normal
totally.
Has principles of responsible cannabis use, which is no driving while impaired, and so we support that. Don't drive while you're impaired. Don't be a risk to yourself or other people.
No.
The trick is, at what level does cannabis actually cause impairment, and what does this bill do about that? Well, turns out it's not measuring impairment, not even attempting to. It just detects recent use, or what they call recent use.
Ooh.
May or may not be recent, might be a few days ago. And what they're doing, they're citing, as their justification, they're saying, well, when the ESR looked at the drivers involved in road deaths, they counted about 60 that were that had drugs in their system. All drugs. I think cannabis was half of them, and meth was maybe the other half. So maybe 30 from cannabis or something. And that's terrible if it was a causal thing. What they do, a bit like this bill, looking for any trace, ESR reported drivers with any trace in them, no matter how small or big. And they didn't distinguish between drivers who caused the crash and those who were a victim of it. It all just gets counted together. So the figures are shonky. And this figure's been put into the bloody law. It's written into the law that it's doing this. And yet it's pretty shonky evidential basis.
Oh, that's shocking.
And of course, we've talked all year about the succession of studies that have come out, quite a few this year alone, showing that the detection of cannabinoids in any bodily fluid, spit, sweat, blood, urine, none of them are actually correlated with impairment or can be used to predict impairment.
Yeah.
And the reason being is that everyone has different levels.
Yeah.
Unlike with alcohol, where there is solid evidence showing if you're at the limit or above the limit, you will be impaired.
You're unable to drive.
There'll be very few people that might apply to, but very few. For the vast majority, that level is pretty well correlated to impairment. But you can't say that with cannabis. And particularly regular users and medical users, medical patients who are using it legally, will have higher levels but lower levels of impairment because they get tolerated to the effects.
Exactly. There's no set limit. I mean, but the testing limit itself, we've already decided, is absolute peanuts. It's almost nothing.
Yes, 1 nanogram of cannabinoids in your saliva. That's what they call low risk, and that'll be a fine of $200 and 50 demerit points. High risk is 3. Previously, under the same law, the 3 was the low risk and the 5 was the high. And if we look overseas, they'll call 5 the low risk and they'll call, 7 or 9 kind of high. And there was a meta-analysis done, which is where they look at all the different studies and where they're all pointing to. And that showed that a level of probably 9 or 10 nanograms would be equivalent to the drink driving law.
Okay.
So that's your level where you're actually impaired.
Crazy.
And yet this has been set at 1. And when you go back through all their documents and justifications, it's simply that the test, the device that's available is calibrated to 1. So that's what they're going with.
It's like throwing darts at a dartboard with a blindfold on. That is how I feel they have decided.
Yeah.
I mean,
they will detect some impaired people, but they will also detect a whole bunch of people who aren't impaired.
Realistically, and this is a me question and a listener question, when do you think the roadside testing will come in? When will we see people getting tested?
Well, they've got to pass this law. So the first of that, that's the last week of January, but probably more like in February or you know, when they get around to it. Who knows? People could be listening to this and write their MP a quick little email or letter or bump into them at the markets over the summer and get in their ear and be like, what the hell are you doing? And you never know. They might put some amendments in and might sort it out. I do note that in the Select Committee report, Transport Infrastructure Committee, that came out on Monday, the Green Party had a minority opinion. They were the only ones in there to dissent from the majority when they noted this is not about determining impairment, but will simply penalise recent use. They noted that it was opposed by most submissions, including the Law Society, the Royal Australasian College of Physicians, New Zealand Drug Foundation, the New Zealand College of GPs, who said you're just going to catch people who are on legit medications. And of course, what they also pointed out is you're going to have this risk of discrimination. When you leave it up to the police to kind of do these random things.
Discretion.
Yeah, the random turns out it's based on a bit of prejudice too. So Judith Collins, and just to go back to what will happen. So here's the other thing, is they've conceded that these oral saliva tests are very unreliable. So you actually have to fail 2 of them, not 1, but 2, because they're unreliable. So if you just fail 1, then the test could be wrong, you know, the actual device. So they're going to make you do 2.
Well,
and then,
go.
In a further concession that even doing 2 doesn't prove anything, the actual evidential test will get sent off to a lab and have a proper lab test done. And that's a good thing, because the lab will do it right, but the 1 nanogram setting is just way too low. But I guess at least the lab will be accurate instead of the devices. But Attorney General Judith Collins, of course part of the government, she noted that it contravenes the Bill of Rights because you're searching people with no basis to suspect they're on drugs. It's not like you're exhibiting any cause. This is just a roadside thing. You're going about your lawful business and then all of a sudden they want a bodily sample from you. And that's quite intrusive. You have the right to privacy. You have the right to not
Very
be arbitrarily
intrusive.
Detained. The right not to be arbitrarily searched. And this breaches all of those. And here's a great quote from Judith Collins. She says, there's a real risk of arbitrary detention where an initial oral fluid screening test takes in excess of 15 minutes or an individual is unable to provide sufficient oral fluid sample and instead must provide a blood specimen. And this means you could be detained for quite some time and they can even take you away. And what they say in the report is the police haven't actually said what the devices will be. It could be that at least one of the devices is a machine back at the police station and you will have to go with that officer back to the police station and have that test done with no reason to suspect you at this point. So she's saying, this is not justified. She also considers the error rate of oral testing devices could lead to prolonged detention of individuals on the basis of inaccurate screening, and the bill provides inaccurate safeguards in these situations.
Because there's a great deal of false positives, which I think is insane.
Yes.
It goes both ways. I don't know. It's all very insane.
Yeah, so make your views known, people. We all want safer roads, but this is not the right approach to do it. Now, having said, the committee has made some amendments or recommended some amendments in this report. They're asking the government, in light of what Judith Collins, Attorney General, pointed out, to consider a time limit on the tests. So if it's not done within a certain amount of time, they just have to let you go.
Because imagine, just being a normal person on your way to the dentist. Now you're late for the dentist and the police think you're on drugs. Like, that is quite a U-turn in terms of how your day's going.
Yes.
You know?
Speaking of going to the dentist, if you have some lidocaine, you'll test positive for cocaine.
What?
If you're on a painkiller of some sort, you'll test positive for heroin. If you're on Ritalin, you'll test positive for meth. It goes on.
Really?
If you're prescribed sleeping pills, you'll test positive to benzodiazepines. There's all sorts of false positives. As well as the inaccuracy of the test, you also get these false positives to other substances.
Oh, that is crazy.
Yes. They are going to allow you to retest a sample at your own cost privately, which is what applies to alcohol, but it wasn't in the original bill. So that's quite a good thing. Mm. Concerning... the officer, in the middle of doing an oral sample, this is what the committee's recommended, they could just decide to switch to what's called the compulsory impairment test, which is where you walk the line and touch your nose and all that kind of thing. And that will be up to the officer. So in the middle of doing the spit test, they can say, no, now I want you to stand on your tippy toes and do all the other things they make you do. The devices, under the current law, they have to have a high level of accuracy, and that's in fact why they haven't been able to find one with a high level of accuracy. So instead, the Minister of Police will just have to consider their accuracy. And they've also, I call this a Kerry Allen clause, they've put in a new thing where if you fail to accompany the officer, or if you wander away, Kerry Allen, Minister of Justice, they will treat you as guilty, and you'll just be convicted based on that. Yeah. So there you go. So make your views known. The one good news in it, I guess there was a couple of good news bits going to the lab and things like that. But there is a medical defence in our law, unlike in Australia.
Exactly.
So if you have a prescription, whether that be for all those other things I mentioned, like Ritalin and things, or whether that be your medical cannabis, you at least have a actual positive defence written into the law.
Yep.
And there will be review within 5 years. So we might have 5 years of crapola, and then there'll be some review saying that crapola was justified, maybe. But anyway.
Fingers crossed.
Make your views known. And the good news is no one will be done for this around Christmas. So it's a little Christmas present for everyone there.
Woohoo!
But it comes with that corollary. Be safe on the roads.
Yes.
Don't drive while impaired.
Do be safe.
Get that Druid app. Look up Druid.
Yep.
And stick it on your phone, and you can test yourself.
Yeah, because I know how loose it gets out there around this time of the year. And it's just no time to take chances.
That's right. The app is a really cool thing because you can just do it yourself whenever you feel the need, particularly when you're about to drive. And just get on your phone. Play. It's like playing a little game. Test your balance and your coordination. Mm-hmm. Gives you a pass or fail. And actual evidential based and correlated to alcohol impairment.
So cool.
Get into that. Meanwhile, moving right along, down in Dunedin, this is related to driving.
Yeah.
Son of top police officer avoids conviction. So again, you can maybe, if
so
the worst
crazy.
Case happens to you, you can cite this one when you go to court. And this is Jack Basham, the son of Assistant Commissioner Paul Basham. Good name for a cop, eh?
Basham.
This was the Southern District Commander for 7 years before leaving Dunedin early this year to go to Police National Headquarters. Basham Jr. clocked driving at 162 k's an hour.
Oh my God.
When they stopped him, they found weed and a bong in the car.
Right.
Why have you got the bong in the car? He was
transport.
He was transporting it between flats,
transporting
that's right.
It.
He wasn't possibly using it.
To a safe place.
Discharged without conviction.
In
the Alexandra District Court, Community Magistrate Sally O'Brien said the consequences of a conviction were out of all proportion to the seriousness of the offence.
You are kidding me.
Driving at 162 k's an hour. And that was convicting this person would have been out of all proportion. So there you go. So if you're caught with a bong in your car, just quote what happened to the son of the top cop.
Oof. That's a rough story to take, eh? Because there's people out there who are done for nothing.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, there are actual hooligans out there.
Well, there's one right there. No, we didn't.
It.
I didn't say that.
Whoa.
I kind of, yeah.
Well, Basham Jr.
Yeah.
Condemned.
Whanganui Chronicle, under the headline Painful Joints, which is,
it's
you've
a good
got
name
to,
for
you've
it.
Got to do it, eh? You've got to do that kind of headline.
That's a great
Medicinal
name.
Cannabis in demand with older people and chronic pain sufferers. And this was a great article, actually. It really kind of showed both sides or whatever. And they had the cannabis clinic saying, well, medical cannabis is helping New Zealand's ageing population. People have, like it said, painful joints, osteoarthritis, various things like that. Meanwhile, College of GPs, who did oppose that drug driving law, as we were just talking about, they said there's not enough evidence to support cannabis being made more widely available. So they didn't say rein it in from where
That's
it is, but they just said, don't make it more widely available.
Ah.
They talked to paraplegic Andrew Fleming. He said he has 24/7 pain, like someone is jabbing an electric probe into my thighs.
Ow!
Cannabis was the most effective pain management medicine he had taken. And he said it's now more like an annoying sensation, like an insect crawling on his skin.
See, these are the real life stories that make you realise how impactful it is. Also, good on the old people.
That's right. Huge growth in cannabis use and prescriptions among the over 60s and over 50s.
Which is cool.
I was going to say, though, insects crawling on your skin is a bit rough, but better than an electric probe, eh?
Yeah, it's better than being stabbed by an electric probe. Yeah.
Waseem Alzahar of the Cannabis Clinic said that many prescribers felt unsupported by the College of GPs.
Mm.
So a bit of pushback there. And yeah, maybe they should support the cannabis prescribing doctors more with a bit of help and a bit of assistance.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another weird one.
Yeah, this was a curveball.
This is also useful for people over the summer. It is a growing time. Two men in New York have died from pneumonia after using bat poop to grow pot. Now, this was actually a study published in Infectious Diseases.
Wow.
Bat guano is often described as a natural superfood for cannabis and commonly used in fertilizers and things. And it is here. You'll find it in every grow shop.
Totally.
Often in a liquid form, though. It's not going to kind of put things in the air, I guess. One of these guys, he had bought his batshit off the internet. There you go. That's what you can get on the internet, some batshit.
Some batshit.
Whereas the other guy, the 64-year-old, harvested a thick layer from his attic.
Ooh! Oh, no, he's taken that too far. Oh.
And then they smoked the pot that they had grown. And, of course, it's legal in New York. You are allowed to grow your own.
Totally.
But it should come with a bit of, you know, when things are legal, you don't need to go into your attic and get your bat poop.
And scrape bat shit off your ceiling.
Yeah. You can just go down to the shop and buy some. So they've smoked the pot that they grew, and then off this pot they've inhaled some fungal
some nasty
stuff.
Yeah.
And that's grown in their lungs and given them pneumonia, and they're dead. So be careful. Like, they were older.
Terrible.
But we just talked about older people using it more, but, your immune system goes a bit down, and you got to be careful. So be careful with your bat guano, or stick to the liquid varieties that aren't going to put that kind of thing in. A lot of grow mediums here are actually pasteurised in that, so they've made them sterile because you don't want to contaminate your indoor grow.
Totally.
So you can always ask for that at the grow shop too, which ones have been pasteurised and go with those ones.
Yeah, just play it safe and don't play around. And there's people like Chris, and there's people like, the Cannabis Society and stuff like that, who can help you if you are about to go and scrape that shit off your ceiling.
Yeah. Ask someone if that's a good idea. Is that a good idea?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. You get in the thorough, the crime scene cleaners to get that stuff out.
Let's talk about it.
Finally,
here's the hit piece that me and Eli teased in the 1-4.
This is a music department. Sir Elton John says legalising cannabis was one of the greatest mistakes of all time.
Mm.
If you ever needed a reason to dislike Elton John, this is it. Now, he does admit the reason he says this is because he's an arsehole. I thought that was refreshing honesty.
Did he say that?
Yeah. The quote is, he's actually been sober for 30 years, battling his own addictions. But, what goes for him or what he didn't enjoy doesn't mean he can put that view on everyone else. Everyone can make their own choice. But he says legalization is going to lead to harder drugs and stop people thinking normally. But then he says, eventually, I made the choice to admit I'm being an arsehole.
Fair enough.
There you go.
Well, good on you, Elton.
We agree on that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do think it is, it's deeper meaning, I guess, is if you are in the public eye, you do have to be careful about the kind of tack you take with all these issues, particularly the war on drugs, etc.
Well, he could focus on the incarceration and the discrimination and the waste of public funds and all the other sorts of reasons that people support changing the law.
Mm.
But instead he's focused on that. And he could also think about people in his age group that have the greatest uptake of cannabis and are using it medically, left, right and centre. But one thing for him and another thing for everyone else.
What's coming up?
Well,
holidays?
Holidays, yes. This is the last Marijuana Media for the year, folks. So
here we go.
Enjoy it while you've got it. But with Christmas just around the corner, you can avoid stress and the harmful effects of other things Increasing your cannabis use. That's my recommendation to you. That's my recommendation. It'll get you through the day more.
Yeah.
Less stress, less triggering, less arguing. Yeah. It's certainly the way that I'll be spending Christmas Day.
Yeah.
And if you need a prescription to help make that happen, then come on down to the hemp store or give us a ring and we can refer you to a doctor and get them to call you up. And it'll all get done and dusted and you'll get some legal medical cannabis in the mail, in the courier.
Nice.
And then you're away laughing.
Well, have a very Merry Christmas, Chris.
Thank you. And you too.
Thank you for this year. Oh my gosh.
I've got your little present.
It's actually something we just found on the ground here.
How's that? There's a little prezzy for you.
A red bow. Oh, bless your soul. That is the cutest jar I have ever seen in my life. All right. Well, you have a great Christmas. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Yeah, it's Marijuana Media for the year.
Do it, man.
That was Marijuana Media.
Thanks to the Hemp Store. Visit them at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz. I'm a